Recording, darling, as per normal.
How you doing, Ollie? You good?
Hiya, hon.
Hey, hey.
Yeah,
What
no,
have we got today? Who are we talking? Sorry, no, I'll let you actually answer the question I asked. You doing okay?
I'm good. I'm currently bursting for a urethral urination station.
Very
I need a
good,
piss,
very good.
basically. But yes, I'm good. Cheers, babe. How's you? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We'll keep it quite quick for our intro then, in that case. Who are we
Chef's
talking
kiss.
to today? What's today about?
A good question, kind sir. One of which I will answer when I've remembered them. Yes, a good answer is on
They're
this
the
way.
fantastic people from A Life More Extraordinary.
Yes.
And their names are?
Ollie and Sarah.
Yeah, so there's a couple of Ollies in this one.
Indeed. And what do we talk about? A good question. I can't answer it properly because it's kind of all over the place in a good way. It's fun. It's very hectic.
Yeah.
It's very chaotic. I think we talk about KFC a lot.
We talk about KFC a lot, which is quite difficult to kind of work away from a conversation when we're talking about food, I guess. We talk about lockdown, you know, how we've been dealing with lockdown. Yeah. Why we kind of started this podcast as well. It was really, really fun to have to be on as guests, I think.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. Is there anything you want to apologize for, Ollie? Just in case.
I'll apologize in the outro. Add a bit of tension. It's going to be grand.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. But
it'd be fine.
I hope you guys will enjoy it, yeah?
Enjoy. Huh?
This is the Professional Patients Podcast with Ruben and Ollie.
Anyway, professional.
Right.
Back in the room.
Okay. Welcome to our Life More Extraordinary podcast. And today we are talking to the professional patients, Ruben and Ollie. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having us.
So are you your professional patients or professionally patient, which is what I've been learning through lockdown?
I think anyone listening to the podcast needs to be professionally patient with us, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the professional patients thing. So yeah, I'm Ruben speaking, and Ollie's with me here as well. And we've got the other Ollie as well.
Hello.
But yeah, it's the kind of tongue-in-cheek side of things because we have been patients all our lives, right, Ollie? So
yeah,
it's just a case of we just thought, bam, let's just call ourselves professional patients because we may be unemployed at the time and we thought that'd be a great name because we're...
Well, yeah,
what do you do for a living?
So proactive with that. But yeah. you guys know each other because you have this shared history, don't you?
Indeed, shared history. I prefer Ollie's version.
Oh, you want to know my version?
I think you're better at stories than I am.
We met on the ward. Basically, I was a little baby, like a little potato, and Rubes was a bit older, and we've grown up together since, basically. I think that
we've thankfully
sums it up.
Been discharged from the ward, just
yeah.
to reiterate.
Yeah,
that,
fine,
just to
yeah.
make it clear.
We're not still there, like one flew over the cuckoo's kind of thing, but no, we're good.
No, it's really strange because, like, I didn't realize that we were from the same area. So we'd see each other at hospital appointments because, you know, after which we might get into in the episode. You know, we had our transplants that were successful, thankfully. And then, you know, you have your checkups every 4 months or every X amount of months. And we'd see each other every now and again and we'd get on and we'd be good mates and whatever. Did not realize that he was from the same part, a small known place called Croydon in South London. And yes, it is from South London, not Surrey. So, yeah, or the part that we're from. So
I've never heard anyone try and make that distinction.
Really?
That, like really fight for
know.
It to be part of that.
Maybe it's just people who are, I don't know.
True Croydon.
True yeah. Croydoners, but much like us. So, yeah, and I think, yeah, I saw him at school. So I went to the same sixth form when he was still a young buck. He was at high school there.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, we exchanged looks, and this is, again, sounding romantic, like we were in the ward again.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah,
was,
but it really
We made
was.
Eye contact, and it was...
We'll put some nice music in the background.
Yeah. If you could, yeah. And they call it... I'm not going to keep singing, because I can't.
Patient love.
There's got to be... I feel like a new TV format.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, yeah, it was just really strange in that sense. And then we're like, wait, I know you. Yeah, I know you. And then... yeah, I think we just kept in touch and then met up for coffees and random. This is sounding even more romantic, as but this is genuinely what happened. We'd meet up and we'd just, you know, go for walks, have coffees together,
okay.
Go to Pizza Express,
and
have pints.
Yeah. Away from the romance.
The rest is history.
And the rest is, yeah, history. So that's a little bit about us, I guess.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And so where did the podcast come from? Like, what, well, I mean, because it's a cool thing to do. All the cool kids are doing it without a doubt. But
uncool kids as well.
Sarah and I attest, some uncool kids as well. But like, so what was it that made you go, do you know what, actually, we want to start telling the story out there like this?
We had a load of ideas like growing up together. And to be honest, the podcast mostly started because we ran out of excuses. There's not really two ways about it.
Yeah.
Like, when we were kind of on the ward together or in clinic together or just, you know, going for a little romantic walks, we'd have all these ideas of stuff we wanted to do together and how to kind of promote organ donation and, more importantly, like tell our personal stories, because that to us is important. We want people to see what life is really like as a transplant patient. And then good old COVID came along. Nothing good about it. Put us in lockdown. And we were like, well, we can't film, but we could possibly record a podcast. And then one thing led to another and we're here. Good times all around.
And I think it's like, because Ollie has a really like quite an extensive background in film and stage production and stuff with the courses that he studied. I'm an actor in inverted commas. And a voiceover artist and all of this other stuff. So we both have like these kind of shared interests and things, so it just made sense. That's where we were talking about, you know, writing our own little comedy sketch thing centered around a hospital or you know, something like that, because there's just so much funny there's so much fun despite going to hospital, and obviously at the core of it it's quite serious and it's quite, you know, but really and truly it deals with things that people find awkward to talk about in terms of, you know, you're having investigations going through places that you would never dream for a tube to go up. Yep. And doctors just being like, yep, so just, you know, if you want to get comfortable and we'll put this in. And yeah, sorry,
there's no way to get comfortable.
There's no way. Like it's, and it was just little things that we would just little bits. We just write little bits with each other and stuff. And then we thought, you know what, let's just give it a go. And I think like Ollie says, and this is what we kind of maintain, we ran out of excuses. It's as simple as that.
And that's actually a really interesting point there, because, you know, obviously from the Life More Extraordinary side, we kind of kicked this off in 2020, so year of the bat, I think it is officially. But And one of the things we're looking for is kind of those stories around how the challenges, what have been the challenges of lockdown for each individual, and what have they found? Are those little things, sometimes a lack of excuse, so we're lacking, you know, the last excuse has been stripped off the list. Like actually, they then went, do you know what, I'm gonna do that thing, and that thing could be small, it could be enormous. But it's actually the thing to take that step towards. I kind of want to make things a little bit better for myself, a little bit better for others. So it's really interesting to hear that, you know, like I said, that lockdown, the COVID stuff kind of stripped away the very last excuse. And it's kind of like, we just got to do it.
Basically.
I like the idea, though, that you're kind of actually, it's something that you've had sort of all your lives. You're both living as transplant patients, and actually it's been really quite challenging. And then when you're thrown into extra challenge, living in lockdown, you finally go, well, do you know what? Let's start sharing this and opening up and going through some really kind of, you know, challenging stuff, but also, you know, shifting it for good. So you're starting to build a bit of a community as well, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what, I'm so glad you said that, because it is that community. I think we've always been passionate about, like Ollie alluded to earlier on, we've always been passionate about sharing our stories, but sharing other people's stories as well, because it's that kind of conversation that will get people to think about, you know, organ donation and how it affects kind of, you know, everyone's lives in some way, maybe not everyone's if you're lucky enough, but, you know, we all know someone, or we all have a close friend or family member who's been through some hospital situations. Now, like it comes back to kind of what you were saying about lockdown challenges as well. Like in a weird way, it wasn't as challenging for us because we've been through long stints in hospital, you know, Ollie more than me. But like in terms of my kind of experience with dialysis or with, you know, being in and out of hospital or having infections here and there. But Ollie was in hospital for I should really let you talk more about it. It's just more coming from a place of admiration, if anything, for want of a better word. But he was in hospital for like close to a month. And that's like, that's a without year. Netflix, a year.
To get your facts right, mate.
A month plus another 11 more months.
To not call you out, but yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, mate. I did suffer a little bit more than that.
Tell it right.
Yeah.
You know, come on. You were bigging me up and then you missed.
This is why I should have just let Ollie speak, but I think I'll retract my compliment now.
A year, seriously. I mean, that's incredible.
No, it's ridiculous, right? And it's the fact that, we're in a time now, thankfully, where we can either use our Netflix account or someone else's Netflix account. We've got our PlayStations, our Xboxes, we're lucky enough to have gardens, or, you know, we've got a place to walk, a space to kind of be, you know, like out and about. This is not the case when you're in hospital. You know, you can't, you know, and I mean, food is the obvious one. Like, I know hospital food gets a bad rep, but it really deserves it. Yeah. So, yeah, like, with all due respect to the chefs who are working tirelessly, I mean, you know, it's not KFC. So, but yeah, sorry, Ollie, is there anything you'd like to add to my really accurate story of your life in hospital? Then?
I mean, your mum constantly spinning in a side room. And I think what Rubes is trying to say there is, you know, our lot, for us anyway, on a personal level, without speaking on behalf of the rest of the community kind of thing, we're finding it a lot easier this lockdown compared to being stuck in hospital where you've been, you know, jabbed with needles, catheters shoved in places where you're told to be comfortable and it just ain't comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff. When we're at home, you know, I've got an actual comfortable bed that doesn't just randomly beep at you. I've got a dog who's 15 years old now, but, you know, worst post comes to worst, he's pissed on the floor kind of thing. That's the worst thing I have to worry about at home. It's not that bad. But yeah, it's a lot easier this time around for me personally.
You've kind of got the tips in that respect. You've done the year in hospital, so this was like, you know,
I mean that was just a lot longer overall, but yeah, that was one of my stints, one of my fun times.
Yeah. That's one of the good days.
I've done much shorter stints in hospital for babies, but the KFC match just took me back and propelled me to like 24 hours of labour. And then nil by mouth because I was about to have an emergency C-section. So my sister and my husband thought this would be a really good time to go and get a KFC.
That is not fair.
And I'm just like, seriously? And I mean, you have not known Fury like it.
We've got a mutual mate. I was going to go down for emergencies, well, a couple of times, but we had a mutual mate who was in the bed next to me, and he found it hilarious. Again, nil by mouth. He found it hilarious to eat like a steak in front of me slowly and a pizza. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
The thing is, he doesn't even have an appetite. That's the irony of it all. He's quite a small guy, and like, you know, he'll order a Subway and have like a bite and then leave the rest.
Yeah,
and
give it to me.
Or give it to you. Yeah. So yeah,
using the term mate in the loosest sense of the word, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, I think he's not on the podcast anytime soon. Let's put it.
Yeah.
No, he will. We will. We love him to bits. That's but brilliant. I think it's just But this is it. This is it. Like at the core of our community, if you want to call it the podcast, this is it. It's a case of there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's a case of trying to just humor ourselves with it. And our approach, I think, we definitely bounce off each other because we're both quite positive about things.
Yeah,
and
PMAs.
PMA, that's it. PMA. What's that again? Positive mental.
Yeah,
attitude.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just
before, all of our listeners are like
PMA.
Post.
PMA. No. Hang
on. Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny because one of the panelists we had on, I think on our first show, a guy called Ben Ridgway, and he was sort of really open about how he'd spent some time in rehab for sort of various addiction that he'd been sort of trying to deal with. We were talking to him about like, did that experience of going through rehab and the addiction battle that you had and the sort of the tactics that you were taught and learned to cope with that, did that in any way kind of help with lockdown and dealing with the sort of the challenges that sort of brought along? He was saying that it's, I think there's some tactics that definitely help, but also just a sort of a frame of reference as well. You know, you've got so many wow, this is such a terrible thing. And he's like, well, you know, actually, yeah, this isn't great. And I'm away from loved ones and stuff like that. But I've done harder things in my life. And there's bigger demons out there that I've battled and sort of beaten. Yeah. So quite frankly,
That's a great, that frame of reference thing, I think, is something that we need to remind ourselves, you know, when we're going through those. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Like, it's easier said than done. I mean, I used to be a firm believer of, especially during dialysis, because it was really difficult mentally for me. It was very, very difficult for me, I think, at the time, because things were going quite strong with the acting side. And then all of a sudden, for you to breaking any industry in any sense, but the fact that you're getting more gigs, even if it be little adverts here and there, it's so great to finally feel like you've opened a door and you've got through something. And then suddenly, bam. Sorry, mate, your kidneys have failed, so we're going to have to put you on dialysis. And it's like, I used to live by, what kind of got me through that period was this whole idea of frame of reference. You know, whatever you go through in life, there's always one person who's better off than you, of course, but there's always going to be one person who's worse off than you. And I think that's always something that I've lived by for quite a while now, having been through that. Like, it's easier said than done, though. I know that people might be listening to it and being like...
Your response is different in a way, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's like, why did that happen? Why would you do this? You know, like,
yeah.
You know, the frustration is something beyond the then getting to the...
For sure.
It can be quite tough as well, can't it? Because that, like I say, that frame of reference can be really valuable, but it shouldn't also invalidate what you're feeling. It's, you know, you can't say, oh, well, actually there's people who got it worse off in the world, so I'm not entitled to feel like this. It's like, no,
exactly.
No, you feel your feelings.
Yeah.
It's just, maybe also take the frame of reference to say, actually, there's also some really positive stuff going on that you can use to sort of motivate you and find some enthusiasm.
Yeah. And I think that idea of privilege, I mean, we've all like just laughed about it because we've got other people's Netflix accounts, obviously, to log into.
Yeah.
Even
gardens. Sorry, Sarah. Yeah, same. I'm better than that.
I'm not. I am definitely not. I haven't paid for TV since 2010.
That idea of privilege as well, isn't it? That actually we're doing this in quite a privileged existence. You know, all you're being asked to do is that. But actually, each day can still be really hard. And I know you, Ruben, you were saying actually, some of it has been having to get yourself into a mindset as well of actually, I can focus on my health now. It's almost like you've been given an extra state of privilege to be well because you've got more time to focus on that being well, being match fit.
Definitely, yeah. I think, sorry, Sarah, on the point earlier on as well, I felt like I quite dismissively mentioned gardens, and I feel like, because I do know people who don't have gardens, and it's easy for me to step out if I really had to, and I was shielding, obviously, which I am. I can, you know, I'm looking to that side there because that's where I step out, and I've got my garden. Some families don't even have gardens. So it's, you know, like, these are things that I think I remind myself every now and again when I feel like, oh, it sucks today. Oh my God, I've already watched this on Netflix. What am I going to do now? Like, I don't know what voice that was. To actually come to your voice about your thing about being match fit. Yeah, 100%. Because Lord knows what kind of nonsense I'd get up to if the world was back on, shall we say. I've had my transplant. I'm able to go for holidays that are longer than like 2 days. I don't even know. Like, the first time I went traveling, I nearly died in China. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd learn from the mistakes or if I'd just be like, you know what, let's just go to South America. Like, you know, that's the kind of person I've been known to be. Maybe it's different now because I'm sorry to all the ladies out there, but I am actually in a committed relationship. I'm joking. That was very bad. Very poorly.
Everyone's devastated.
I was going to say, if you listen carefully,
there's literally no one. I say that more because that's another thing. That's another thing that really lifted. There was a cheer and it was from Ollie.
Yeah. Awkward party popper going off in the background.
No, I say that because I kind of been a dirt.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sorry,
that's the word we were looking for. I am not.
That's the word we were looking for.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. That's a way I lifted myself during lockdown, and hopefully she got lifted through too as well. So yeah, if everything else fails, engage, propose to the one you love, I guess. That wasn't even the question, Sarah. Sorry, I've just started rambling.
But I like
that completely.
That's where we got to, actually.
And I do like you added to the one you love, because otherwise it was quite big advice.
Yeah.
Just propose.
Everyone's going to be like, well, Ruben, just propose. I don't see what's wrong with it. Just, like, you know, don't have Netflix, propose.
Yeah, that is their new ad campaign, I think. Get Netflix or you will have to get married.
But you did mention about being match fit. I'm just wildly racking through my head what you mentioned.
Quick.
Yeah. As you can see, sorry, this is just a testament to us being tongue-in-cheek called professional patients. So we do have rambles in our podcast as well. But yeah, being match fit, yeah, 100%. I can focus on my health more. I can, you know, like, even if it's something as silly as, because sometimes you see your tablets that you have to take in a day, and I'm sure Ollie would agree. And you're just looking, you're like, why me? As you know, as bad as that sounds, like, you've got so many tablets to take post-transplant. We're talking close to maybe, I think I was on like around 30. And yeah, I'm not going to go out and start doing things because I'm not physically fit yet. But I think this time has allowed me to go for, you know, walks here and there and just try and build myself back up. So yeah, I think I've somehow arrived to an answer there.
It's interesting speaking to the both of you, because you've been through some incredibly challenging experiences and quite sort of long challenging experiences, not just of short little intense periods, but sort of long drawn out periods. So you've probably learned a lot about yourselves and had to learn a lot about yourselves already. Is there anything though that you've learned fresh from the last sort of year or so that actually think, yeah, this is something I kind of really want to keep on doing? Big question. Feel free to pause and think. We'll edit this out, so it'll be seamless.
I'm just reluctant to say anything because I actually don't know where I'd land with that question. How long you've got and I think procrastination for me. I've learned that I'm very good at procrastinating.
Mate, I could have told you that years ago.
Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think we've only just got around to record a podcast?
This is what I mean. This is the funny thing, because you started with, you know, the whole podcast thing and it's being like a cool in thing and everyone has one now kind of thing. We've literally been talking about this for 5-6 years.
We've just been procrastinating it for five, six years.
Yeah. But Ollie, mate, sorry, you were going to say something.
Was I? I can't remember. That's helpful, isn't it?
So it's not memory.
No, it's definitely not that. It's not that. I mean, things I'd want to carry on when all this has gone is definitely, I think I've got into more of a kind of workout routine, but like in a more, I know that's like real stereotypical of everyone else kind of thing.
Yeah, workout. Do you even lift, bro?
Do you even lift, bro? It's cardio. that's what, like, I've found, especially over the last... So I went into lockdown early. March last year? Mm. I was in lockdown from February, so hey, happy 1 year to me. But yeah, I've found I'm much better at kind of like looking at myself and going, yeah, you should probably work on that a bit. Not as in on body image, but more, okay, getting up those stairs after eating like 6 boxes of KFC, because that seems to be the thing today.
Can we stop talking?
Yeah, can we, guys? Really, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I brought it up. But
6 boxes of big old chicken. We should probably cut back on that a bit. And like, okay, cool. Get onto that rowing machine or get outside. And I found I'm a lot better at enjoying actually doing those things now, because it's... I'm well enough to actually be doing it, which is a big thing for me. I'm enjoying doing that. And the other thing is the podcast. I quite enjoy it. It's quite therapeutic. It's nice talking to, obviously, Rubes about it, and a mate who, without sounding kind of rude to other mates, but someone who actually understands like inside transplant jokes and actually understands what it's like when I'm sitting there going, yeah, catheterizing sucks, and instantly Rubes knows what catheterizing is. I don't have to sit there and explain that it's a tube that goes up your knob kind of thing. That's never comfortable to explain.
Yeah.
But it's quite nice. And I'd hope to carry that on after a lockdown.
Definitely.
Doesn't sound comfortable to have.
It really isn't.
Three of us just went,
Everyone just like moved a little bit.
Yeah. It's called turtling. It's an innie, but yes.
Oh dear.
Anyway, I'm
just thinking about publishing this episode, and I'll have to tick the adult content.
Yep.
Oliver Crawley was here. He apologized.
Yeah, please.
I think Apple automatically categorizes it. Oh, professional patients. Yep.
They've mentioned turtling again.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny because. So
is it really?
Well, no, it's not funny, but it makes the thought process in my head is entertaining for me at least, because I've mentioned to you guys before that my dad had a kidney transplant 5 or 6 years ago now, something like that. It went incredibly well. It went incredibly smoothly. Recovery's been doing great. But there were some really bizarre experiences that kind of like you're talking about your comedy show and just some of the sort of the inside jokes of if you've been through an experience together that others would sort of just look at and go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't get it.
But there are a couple that came to mind. One was where my brother, myself, and our uncle all volunteered to get tested to see if we were a match for my old man to do the donation. And we went along together. And there were two very funny stories on the day. One was that when we were in there with the transplant sort of, I'm not sure if the official title, officer or something like that, who was then going to ask us a series of questions about lifestyle and all those kind of things to see if we were suitable. And we're all sitting there together in this one little office. And the sort of the lady said, so we've got to go through like a lifestyle questionnaire and lifestyle history and things like that. Do you want to do it individually or do you want to do it sort of all together just now? And my dad's sitting there, my uncle, my brother and I. My uncle just goes, oh, we'll just do it all together. And my brother and I sort of look at each other like, oh, hold on. And at that point, you can't write really back out and go, well, actually, I can already imagine what questions are going to be asked here. And I do not want to have this conversation in front of my father. And then he starts going down the questions like, you know, do you smoke? Do you drink? How much do you drink? All that kind of stuff. And then he's got down to some of them. And both my brother and I were like, so should we go to a private room? Yeah. My poor dad's in there going, I mean, I know what they do. I just don't want to have it documented.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And it was just very, very, it was just very funny. This really awkward moment. But even ahead of that, and this is hopefully not sharing too much, but one of the things we had to do was bring along a urine sample for the tests. But it's not just a urine sample. It was liters of the stuff. Absolutely. So we all met up at where was it? It was the Hammersmith Hospital. So we met up at Shepherd's Bush. I went for a coffee beforehand at the Cafe Nero around the corner. Oh, all dear. Sitting there having a cappuccino whilst underneath the table were about 4 gallons of we're just sitting there just going, I mean, this is the weirdest coffee I've ever had.
And again, it's just those people that were going, oh, I like the look of the fresh apple juice. Yeah.
I was going to say,
is that organic cider?
Is that organic cider?
It's organic.
It's natural, that's for sure. Yeah, I'll tell you
I wouldn't trust the source, but it's those kind of things. We're still to this day, my brother and I sort of, you know, like, you could just text him and go Cafe Nero and you just burst out.
You just know, exactly.
The issue of it, you know. I haven't got catheterization sort of pre-saved on WhatsApp yet, but it is these kind of little bizarre insights into it. It's quite weird.
Yeah. I think what's been quite overwhelming for us, and it's been really like humbling as well, is some of the reviews is a weird word to use, but some of the responses that we're getting is like, it's really kind of, our podcast seems to be reaching people who haven't had these experiences. So the lucky normal people, as we like to refer to them as. But do you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of really important to us. I just thought that would be a point to mention, because I think, you know, it's really nice for people who otherwise wouldn't think about this whole world of people are having to go on treatments, or people are going to have, you know, be waiting you know, until maybe someone super famous gets kidney failure or heart failure or lung failure, which they already have. And I think what a lot of organ donation kind of marketing areas, that they kind of focus on that and they trying to get more people involved. But it's just about having that conversation, I think, more than anything. Yeah. And it's really nice that, like, Oliver, like, your family came through and you had that conversation and, you know, with your brothers. I mean, it's something that you probably think, well, it's dad, isn't it? Like, we're going to do it.
Well, that was, you know? I mean, that was the weird thing. Like, you know, there was never any kind of hesitation. I had the easiest sort of route journey through all of this in terms of our family, because it was my dad who needed to have the transplant. It's my brother who ended up being the sort of the donor. And so they went through all the challenges that are involved with that.
That was probably just because of the way that Ollie answered some of those questions.
Thinking back to that questionnaire, but like it was for my own, speaking for my own part of that journey, I remember feeling kind of like incredibly kind of torn and guilty, because at the time, my brother hadn't had his daughter yet. He's now got a 2-year-old daughter, whereas my daughter, I think, must have been about 2 or 3 at the time, kind of thing. And so I was the only one in the family with a little one. Right. And so there was that kind of thought of like, I mean, nothing's going to go wrong. Nothing probably will go wrong with the procedure or anything like that. But it is a risk. There is a risk there. And, you know, what happens if the worst happens and I leave my sort of daughter behind? There's... And you just, and then having to sort of to think about that and not being able to just go, Dad, I got this. Don't even think about it. We're going to sort this out. And it felt both kind of like really kind of guilty in some ways and a little bit challenging and things like that, just purely from a personal point of view. But I feel like I can't help out. I really want to here. And I can't do that thing that I really want to do. Even though it's for good reason. It's kind of weird. And I guess to your point about, you know, obviously yourselves as the main characters within your story and your journey, you've then got those people around you who I imagine as well kind of, you know, live and breathe it with every step.
And that's what I honestly like. If I'm just very grateful and to have such a support network with just my parents, just even just stopping there, just people in this house right now. But moving forward, I've the friends and family, much like Ollie's kind of alluding to with himself as well. I've got lots of friends who don't understand, and sometimes I don't need them to understand because I have got people like Ollie who I can just call him any time of the day and be like, mate, listen, feeling a bit rough because, you know, I haven't been peeing for a few hours, which is a legit thing, by the way. It's not just a joke. It's legit, like sometimes you just might not pee for a day. And you're like, is everything okay? And sometimes you'd rather talk to a friend about that before going to a doctor because it's just easier sometimes. Yeah. Also, doctors don't pick up straight away. Also, I don't have any numbers to doctors. So that's probably the main, reason. But yeah, I think it's, yeah, like the whole support, I can't express just how grateful I am. And it kind of makes me feel guilty, even just with what you mentioned in terms of your kind of guilt, so to speak. Mm. Like to put things in perspective, I've been lucky enough to have two transplants. The first one was my dad. So already there's issues there. My mum was in the middle, obviously having to visit dad in one kind of hospital ward and me in the other. And now fast forward, that was in 2001. And then fast forward to 2019. And now it's my older brother who has two gorgeous girls and a son was on the way. And I'm sitting there in the hospital bed next to him. Like, you can never really absolve yourself of that guilt, I think. And that's something that maybe I've spoken to Ollie about before. Maybe it might, and I don't want to kind of sound, I was going to preface this with saying I don't want to sound grim, but I don't think it should be, and maybe it's my mentality, but I do think maybe that's something that I want to seek therapy for, and that's a very bold thing to maybe come out and say. It's not a bad thing. I think it's just something that needs to be spoken about, and I think there's a lot being done within this realm in kind of healthcare and post-transplant patients, because a lot of people, it comes out like I was the better off out of that whole situation. I've come off, now I'm not on dialysis, I'm feeling great, and he's got his kidneys and he can just live his life again, whereas my husband or my father or my son or daughter or whatever has now had to sacrifice X amount of months, years of their life and donate whichever. And yeah, so there is an element of, and I think that, like I said, there is much more being done in that kind of realm of kidney counseling. I'm only speaking specifically because we're only used to kidney stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think it's something that should often be spoken about. And I'm sure Ollie and I will be talking about that. We've had personal conversations about it, but maybe at some point publicly in our podcast, speak a little bit more about it. The old transplant mental health, definitely.
It's a big
thing. Just, where do you start? Yeah, this is a thing. Where do you start? But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to kind of bring the tone down. I just felt like it's something important to be spoken about, and I did want to mention it at some point.
I think it's really telling though that you like, and great that you've got your podcast, because you know, you just said there, it's not a bad thing. It's just something that needs to be spoken about. And isn't it interesting? We're all shut in our houses, in our rooms, and everything. And actually, what's happening maybe more is we're having sort of like extra conversations that we wouldn't have had with different communities, different people that we wouldn't have had because of podcasts, because of Zoom rooms or Zoom, hobbies. And kind of it's stretching us in weird and different ways, but it's almost that kind of like processing it. And what you're doing is opening up stories that just weren't in the mainstream or weren't there before.
Yeah. And if I may compliment you guys, that's definitely what you're doing. And it's so I think just there's a real variation. Like I tuned into one of the, and it's just that whole idea of getting everyone involved. It's very interactive as well, and it's a very comfortable space. So I might use this bit to just be like, guys, get on board with A Life More Extraordinary, because it's a really comfortable space to just have a chat. And you don't have to, like, it's just one of those things. Like, you just, it's very kind of interactive, which is always nice when you're listening to talks or watching talks. You don't really get involved as much, even if you're going to webinars and things. Yeah. But this is a really nice way to be like, and you learn about other people's experiences, which is what life should be about, right? I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I think it was, thank you, because it was definitely like, it's basically just, we've set it up as an opportunity to explore this work-life collision and what you can take, the good you can take from it, and build that in, you know, design it better beyond. But it's like, it's so interesting because, like, quite often, again, this is about, you know, these conversations were only happening in isolation from each other. So your work life was your work life and your home life was your home life. And now your work life is living in your home and your and vice versa. So you can't help but be, you know, it's that you can't help but have to be real, because you will get caught out, as I did, with your six-year-old son running into the room as you're hosting the work quiz and you get to question eight and he bursts in and you're saying question eight to 193 people. Question eight, mummy, why is my bottom so stinky? Oh,
dear. Multiple choice answer.
Is it A?
Not question eight. But, you know, it's a leveller with your work colleagues.
Yeah, true.
But you will get those moments, and it's that kind of like, yeah, oh, you didn't know I had a son. No.
You do now.
And yeah, now you do.
And he has a stinky bottom.
Yeah.
The real victims of homeschooling.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Those real moments, isn't it? They kind of, you literally have just collided, and you know, we've seen them on telly, and they were always the outtakes, and actually they are life.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And that's a really interesting point, actually, and it sort of a question for everyone here, really. But like what you've just described there, Sarah, is something that A is totally real. You know, that's a real situation that actually happens to a huge number of people, or something like that happens to a huge number of people. But because of the current situation, it's suddenly been taken from your home world into your work environment, into your work world. And I think there's had to be quite a bit of courage and vulnerability that people have had to kind of take on to allow that to happen. And I think some people are coping with it a little bit better than others. But it is, I mean, maybe that's one of the things that hopefully a lot of us are trying to learn as well, is how to be courageous and vulnerable because of this lockdown period. It's kind of forced these things upon us. And maybe that's one of the things we'll take away, be a little bit braver, a little bit more sort of comfortable with being vulnerable.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think, and also speaking about that vulnerability as well, like I think my dad's definitely more stoic than I am, at least. I think I've definitely let on a lot more than him in terms of just personally what he goes through and the things, the sacrifices that he's made. But he's spoken about these things, and it's kind of nice because lockdown has had that opportunity for us to kind of actually sit down and talk with him a little bit more. And yeah, it's just nice to have that breather and be like, you know what? We always say we're grateful and we know what you've done for us, but this is actually a really nice opportunity to learn a little bit more about that. And not just have a kind of rehearsed, recorded answer, you know, kind of thing. I think that whole vulnerability and courage around being vulnerable, I think is really important.
And doing something about it as well. I hope people, that carries on after. I noticed a lot in, the past year, lockdowns on and off kind of thing, that a lot of people are becoming vulnerable and not doing too well, but they're doing stuff about it instead of, without sounding horrible, they're just sitting there and allowing it to get worse and worse. People have got a lot better, at least in my friendship group and in my family, of going, this is crap. Okay, I've accepted that. I've spoken about it. I've spoken to me or, you know, my dad or whoever about it. So it's off my chest. Okay, now what are we going to do about it? Because if we leave it, it's going to get worse, and that's not good. That's not helpful to anyone. So I'm hoping people are going to be better at being open and kind of turning around and going, yes, I am struggling. This is what I'm doing about it. Be it, you know, going to your GP or, you know, getting some sort of therapy or starting a podcast and talking crap for an hour kind of thing like me and Rubes. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm on week eight of Couch to 5K. Which is not something that would have expected me to do. And it was mostly an escape plan. Get out of the house more often with a buddy. So I'm like, yeah, great. Let's definitely do running. Oh, you have to do running in it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you do. You do have to do running. I had to do 28 minutes solid running this morning. It turns out it's accumulative and hard work.
Yeah.
turns out you can't actually talk that much when you're that much running.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, when you're trying to remember how to breathe.
Yeah. Remember how to breathe. Exactly. And when people you do see look like they're going to offer you help.
Yeah.
And when you do see neighbours, like this morning, and I was just not the colour you should be. And
on my shirt.
Yeah, running. It's again, it's a much, much better solution than just drinking gin, which was what I was doing in the garden a lot in the first lockdown. Gin and fizz, and with whoever else could, you know, depending on the rules of one or six, or if you drink enough, then you can have 12 people. But it was, again, your coping mechanisms, because it's been such a longer amount of time. I mean, I'm joking about it, and actually, but for me, on reflection, it has forced me to have healthier habits, because it was not sustainable to be like that. But that's interesting and challenging, and certainly wasn't my first solution. But it's, you know, it has been a better one.
It's funny you mention that, because I started doing like this whole intermittent fasting thing, which, as someone who eats what he wants when he wants and has no question, and there's, you know, and this is, I think that's where I started, like, I'd have Mawams at, like, Mawams, for anyone who doesn't know, because I mentioned this to someone and they were like, what's Mawams? But basically they're like sweets, essentially. Oh, so I could have just said sweets.
Oh, the chewy ones.
Yeah, the chewy sweets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love them. And I would have them whenever I want, whether it's 2 a.m., whether it's first thing in the morning, which is really bad, first thing in the morning, whatever, it's not good. But it's just because there's no restriction. I didn't discipline myself like that. And I think maybe that's like a post-transplant feeling as well, because now you feel psychologically, I could do anything.
Yeah.
And I think intermittent fasting, didn't see that coming. And now I'm like, nope, I'm being strict. I'm just going to have a black coffee and I'll just get on that. And for anyone who I haven't caught up with in ages, and I say to them, this is what I'm doing, they're just like, mate, what? Mm. Like, literally, this is so unlike you. I was going to say it's the equivalent of me going vegan, but you never know. I don't know, well, the possibilities are endless, even though I like mention KFC quite periodically in a 1 hour time frame.
As your mate, I'm going to say that's a bit unrealistic, but yeah, you can give it a go.
I don't plan to, though I do want to eat more consciously. That's just a general, you know, that's just a way I want to be. But I don't know how that's possible given my palate and my I don't know what I'm talking about. We're here again.
I could not contemplate being vegan. I'm gonna put it down there, but that is so unlikely. But
I think definitely. Hey. I think also you need to be really passionate about these things. Like, you know, like, and I think I am to an extent. I don't want to kind of talk myself into trouble here, but maybe I'm just being selfish. That's all it is, and that's where I'm going to land with that.
Oh,
and I like meat. I was going to say,
yeah, I just like steak.
Yeah, I just like.
I just had a bacon sandwich for lunch.
I literally did as well. Well, chicken and bacon. One.
It's terrible.
I tried being veggie once, and I lasted like 2 days before a night out, and then I finished with a kebab. It just wasn't me.
what a way to go!
Chili sauce and garlic. I'm going guns blazing. I was covered.
Pull out the wagon.
It was 2 days, like, though.
It wasn't even like a slow decline. It was just I plummeted off a cliff into a kebab on a night out, and it was fantastic. It was beautiful, and that was the last time I ever tried eating healthy. Apart from
yeah,
I think it's because you do it in a certain window, as Ruben is saying. You're all right. That's intermittent.
Yeah, so this is it. Intermittent. Yeah, you can eat what you want. You can add intermittent veganism. Try one meal.
1 p.m. and 2 p.m. and then I'm done.
Yeah, I am vegan for about a quarter of every day. Also, it's the same time I'm asleep. But I am committed to that quarter of my day.
And it's really important.
Yeah, it's really important to me.
I dream about it, so it happens.
That's gone completely.
I think on that bombshell. I love that we had to have that chat
because you are mostly sponsored by KFC.
Yeah, so for anyone listening, if you want to type in the code, Ruben and Ollie, You get a free chicken
wing. Professional patients and you get free chicken wings, yeah.
Oh, I'd give away the popcorn chicken.
Oh, that's a good shout.
No, it wouldn't make it past me.
This has descended into bloody chaos.
Sorry.
We started on a deep... Now, someone's diving into a kebab. We're giving away free popcorn chicken. It's great.
Yeah. We're going to cut this whole last 5 minutes out.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But guys, look, thank you so much. I think, you know, you're not just your story, but the kind of the honesty as well, the kind of the vulnerability that you bring to your story and how you talk so passionately about the community that you're bringing together and engaging is really, really touching. So thank you so much for being part of A Life More Extraordinary making us laugh.
Thank you. It's been a great, you know what, it's a Monday. Well, this is my version of a Monday morning because I was doing a bit of work earlier. But it is a Monday. And it's the best Monday I felt in a while. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Aww. Thank you for having us and putting up with us, more importantly.
And putting up with us. Yeah. Thank you for putting up with us.
Sarah, we'll cut them out later, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been...
Oh, sorry, we're still on. Sorry.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, we've definitely been professionally patient there, Ollie.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think. It's a good tagline. It actually ended up being better than we thought we gave it credit for to begin with. So, but yeah.
Awesome.
Right, I'm going to stop recording.
Thank you so much. Really
bye. Ollie and Sarah. Ollie and Ruben. Quite the combination.
It's just the best going name, really, isn't it? Ollie.
It is.
Ollie with an IE. Ollie with a Y. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But we hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm sure you enjoyed the chat about lockdown, trying to get ourselves out of situations. And Ollie's grinning on the other end of the Zoom call here. I feel like he wants to say something.
Oh, no, nothing. It's just a casual apology from my side if I made any turtling jokes or made anyone uncomfortable with turtling kaftas.
It did get a bit squeamish at points.
You know, hey, you know, if you turtle during that, it's natural. I don't think anyone on that Zoom call didn't turtle with that conversation.
No, not at all.
So I'm going to slowly back away here and say toodle pips before I dig myself any bigger hole. So
yeah, toodles. Exactly. Take care, guys.